This Israel Report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, good morning. What a morning so far.
Boker Tov, what a day we've had. What a 24-hour period. I noticed, Howard, that you picked up on your social media the story about the Israeli attack yesterday in the central area of Tehran, where they attacked Palestine Square. And Palestine Square in Tehran is the location for the Israel destruction clock, because little may it be known that about 4 years ago, in 2021, the Iranian parliament took a decision that Israel would be destroyed within 20 years. And as a result of that decision, a destruction clock was set up in Palestine Square, counting down the 20 years to the destruction of Israel. It sort of reminds me of a visit that I made to Paris in the early 90s, where outside the Pompidou Center, they had a countdown clock to the end of the millennium, to the year 2000. And that was exactly what they had in Tehran. And that was until yesterday, because the IDF destroyed the Israel destruction countdown clock. And I wonder how symbolic that particular act was. Of course, it's just more symbolism than anything else significant. But it came amongst a wave of IDF attacks. The Israeli Air Force were very, very active in the skies of Iran yesterday, attacking numerous targets, particularly in the central part of Tehran, government buildings, buildings used by the Revolutionary Guard, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, buildings and bases and storage facilities across Iran, but also in the central part of Tehran. And I wonder if the Israeli Air Force knew yesterday, while they were carrying out these attacks, what might be happening this morning, which of course has been significant. But before we even we get to this morning, I think it's also an important backdrop just to talk about the Iranian response to the US and the attacks that were carried out yesterday against US air bases, military bases in Qatar. And about 10 missiles were fired in the early part of yesterday evening towards the US Air Force base in Qatar. And it can only be described as choreographed. These missiles were fired. A statement: the missiles were intercepted. The Qataris were rushing around, very, very concerned about this. President Trump issued a statement saying, "Oh, it was a joke, because you hardly made any impact on our base. And anyway, there was nobody there and nothing there to attack." A number of countries issued statements which condemned the attack by the Iranians against the Air Force base in Qatar. And it was over. In other words, the Iranians had had their opportunity to save face, to maintain some self-respect in the international community. They had retaliated against America. That was kind of a debt that had been settled. And I think that that has then laid the groundwork for a potential ceasefire that we may have right now.
Yeah, it really didn't convince. I don't think it really convinced anybody, did it? This so-called attack on the American base. No one really bought it.
Well, it was important for the Iranians that it happened. Whether it looked serious, whether it looked like it was intended, whether it potentially had this whole choreographed feel about it, seemed to be less important. The fact that it happened and the missiles were fired and the condemnations were issued and the statement was made by the U.S. president, all of that was a way more important than exactly what it looked like. But it clearly was a choreographed action and was all designed just to allow the Iranians to be able to turn around to their people, probably as much as anything else, to say, we responded. We attacked the American base in Qatar. We're sorry, Qatar, our sister country, for having had to carry this out, because we didn't mean anything against you particularly, but job done.
Really, so odd. Anyway, the Iran unleashed a lengthy and deadly barrage of missiles earlier this morning. What is, was this a finale before the ceasefire?
It kind of looked like it. And just to update listeners, at about 5 o'clock this morning, we were woken up to warnings that sirens would come about. And we then went through about an hour where sirens were sounded across Israel at different intervals. Some of us made 3 and 4 visits to our bomb shelters, each time being released and then being called back to the bomb shelter as another barrage of rockets was being fired from Iran. Unfortunately, a building in Beersheba took a direct hit from one of the Iranian missiles. It was an apartment building, a residential apartment building, 7 floors high in a very, very much built up residential neighborhood. Until now, we understand that 4 people have already been killed in that particular incident. We understand that most of those people who were killed were actually not in their bomb shelters, which is a surprising fact given that we know that bomb shelters save lives. That has been an enduring theme throughout this operation, that bomb shelters save lives. And in fact, there were people on the 4th floor of that building in their bomb shelters, where the entire building around them had pretty much been destroyed, and those people were saved this morning from their bomb shelter on the 4th floor. And when you see the scenes on TV of the destruction of that building, it's just inconceivable that moments before that was a perfectly ordinary residential building where people were sleeping and people were running to their bomb shelters, I guess. But in this particular case, unfortunately, 4 people have lost their lives. There are still efforts underway to rescue people who apparently are still stuck in the rubble somewhere. We see scenes of the search and rescue teams climbing up the outside of this building, which is pretty much rubble, to try to reach the upper floors to see if there are any more survivors in bomb shelters in the higher floors. It's impossible to get inside the building due to the amount of rubble that's there. And unfortunately, 4 lives have already been lost, with another group of people, I think 8 people who have been injured. And the official word from Israel right now is that they are weighing up what their response will be to this particular act, because when you kill 4 people in a residential neighborhood, then inevitably in the Middle East, that doesn't come without a response. And so even though officially the ceasefire went into effect almost 2 hours ago, and President Trump has come out warning everybody not to do anything to disrupt the ceasefire, but the official word from the Israeli government is that they're still weighing up what they might do. But certainly the barrage of rockets and the way in which it was fired this morning did feel a little like a finale, just the opportunity to have the last word, if that's what they wanted to do in this particular conflict. But I think we know more or less who has come out better and who has come out worse. And if we look at Israel's stated objectives of this operation, which were to destroy the military threat posed by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps against Israel, and to destroy Iran's nuclear weapon production facility, I think it would be fair to say that as we sit here today, those 2 objectives have pretty much been achieved.
Which is incredible. And in a very, very short period of time, 12 days, as we now know, Donald Trump doing some of the counting for us.
I mean, And it's worth mentioning that more than 1,000 drones were sent from Iran to Israel. Those drones all potentially are killers because they carry weapons and they are all extremely dangerous. One drone in the end managed to break through Israel's defense. That was a drone that hit a building in Beit Sha'an. But more than 1,000 drones were intercepted and were taken out of the air by Israeli defense systems. And we need to mention here the electromagnetic core of the Israeli Air Force, who has the responsibility to scramble signals and therefore cause the drones, in the most part, but not only drones, other weapons as well, but their focus has really been on the drones. They scramble signals, they redirect them, they use electromagnetic and electronic means in order to defend our airspace. And the job that they've done has been phenomenal. They fly under the radar, you'll excuse the pun. We don't hear much about them, but the work that they do in a technological sense is quite amazing. And the fact that one drone in more than 1,000 ultimately penetrated Israeli airspace, I think is testament to the great work that they've done for us.
Yeah, that is absolutely right. Let's just go back to talk about what is happening in Gaza, because that is obviously the risk of an Iranian war of this magnitude has the danger of taking our attention away, and there are still hostages there. What is the latest?
So it's, I think, important to emphasize that with all that's been going on in Iran, we've sort of taken our eye off some of the other activities that have been going on around. The Israeli Air Force attacked targets in Lebanon yesterday against Hezbollah, who apparently are still trying to mobilize themselves in southern Lebanon. And the IDF and the Israeli Air Force in particular are very active in keeping an eye on that. And they were attacking targets in Lebanon yesterday. The war in Gaza has continued unabated, almost as if though there's no war against Iran. The Israeli Air Force have attacked sites in Gaza, continue to attack sites in Gaza. We still have troops on the ground. And of course, we had the news that late on Saturday evening, the bodies of three of our hostages were extricated from Gaza. Yonatan Samarano, Shai Levinson, and Ofra Kedar. Those were the three bodies who were brought from Gaza. We understand that Ofra was murdered alongside her husband on Kibbutz Be'eri, and her body taken to Gaza. She was 71 years old, and we ultimately heard that she'd been killed only in December, even though we understand her death was on October the 7th. She was one of the last two remaining female hostages in Gaza. The other is in Bar Haiman, who we understand also has not survived. So at least we have brought Ofra's body home. Yonatan Samarano was 21 years old. He was at the Nova Music Festival. He ran from Re'im towards Kibbutz Be'eri, where he was killed and then kidnapped by terrorists. And then Shai Levinson was a tank commander in the Oz Battalion, and he was killed on October the 7th, but we didn't know that he was dead until in January of 2024. But he ultimately was also killed on that day. And those three bodies have been brought back to Israel for burial, which is a blessing that at least they have a proper place of burial and their families can close that circle. But we still have 50 hostages left in Gaza. And even though the Gazans this morning on social media are crying out to Trump, what about us in terms of their response to his announcement of a ceasefire? There will be no ceasefire in Gaza until 50 hostages are brought home. And I think that that is the position of the Israeli government. And I believe that the Israeli government has the support of the Israeli people to do everything that is possible to bring the hostages home. And I know that there are different opinions about how to achieve that, whether we should stop the military activity and negotiate endlessly and give in to the demands and give up whatever we need to give up in order to get the hostages home, or whether we need to do it from strength and we need to continue the military operation. everybody will have their own opinion. It's interesting to see how things are played out in Iran. And it's interesting that Donald Trump himself has said that the ceasefire was brought about by the pilots of the B-2 bombers. They were the ones who facilitated the ceasefire. And from that, he means that without the military activity and potentially without the damage that Israel has done over the past 11 or 12 days to the infrastructure in Iran, threatening the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, bombing that jail where opponents to the regime have been held in Tehran, potentially letting them free, bombing and destroying other elements of the Revolutionary Guard and the Iranian regime, whether all of that ultimately convinced the Iranians that a ceasefire was necessary, and whether that tactic would also be relevant in Gaza. Clearly, Hamas have a completely different situation and much, much less to lose. But there is still a view that the military route is the one to achieve the ceasefire and to bring home our hostages after 627 days in captivity. I'm sure that you guys all have your views about what is the best way forward to bring our hostages home, and let's put a stop to the activities in Gaza.
Absolutely right. It is where we leave it. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. What is your view? What now? First of all, let's just ask you this question. Do you think that the Iranian ceasefire is a good thing right now? I'm not talking about later, I'm not talking about earlier, I'm talking about now. Do you think it's a good thing right now? And number two, what do we do about Gaza? It's 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow morning at 7:45.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.